the rest of the story. Mrs. Trow's boarding house in Kansas City, Missouri, was a popular residence for young men in those days. Elderly Mrs. Trow herself became a surrogate grandmother many times over for the hopeful boys who had ventured to the big city in search of their various destinies. Some of her encounters with them were poignant ones. Arthur, for instance. Arthur's first night at the boarding house, he came to Mrs. Trow politely asking for a coal oil lamp. And she replied, "Just turn on the gas jet, dear," as gaslighting was then state of the art. But Arthur just stood there looking perplexed, for the world was briskly evolving beyond the sheltered origins of that poor boy from Kansas, who had struggled through 2 years of high school in Abilene before venturing to this bustling hub of the American Midwest. Might Arthur have failed to adjust at all, Mrs. Trow wondered, without the patience and the understanding of his first acquaintance and eventually his best friend at the boarding house, a conscientious 21-year-old who worked as a teller at the National Bank of Commerce. In fact, that fellow was instrumental in getting Arthur hired at the same establishment. The young men earned $35 a month, labored monotonously in what was then nicknamed the zoo, a teller's cage in the basement where checks were cleared for the country banks. But their salaries went fast, for there were expenses, $5 a week for room and board, including breakfast and dinner, 10 cents a day extra for a box lunch. Of course, money must be sent home to help cover family needs, as that was often the main reason for a young man to seek employment in the city in the first place. At the end of the month, about a dollar was left over for recreation. That usually meant a vaudeville show at the Orpheum or the Grand. Biggest names of the era performed there. Weber and Fields, Eva Tangay, Lillian Russell, even the four Cohans, the future standout George M. Cohan among them. And you never knew when first-rate free entertainment would find its way to Kansas City, like the time the year previous when President Teddy Roosevelt came campaigning for his first full term. Several of the commerce clerks turned out for that vigorous speech on the back of an open car at 10th and Main. And Arthur thrilled to hear his friend tell of it. One day they went their separate ways. The shy boy who had not known how to turn on a gas jet, the new teller at the National Bank of Commerce in 1905. He, Arthur, went on to become that bank's executive vice president. And a younger brother back in Abilene, he went on to become United States President Dwight David Eisenhower. And yet, in recalling the odyssey of Arthur Eisenhower from boarding house boy to big league banker, you must credit in part, won't you, the best friend he ever had, the friend who introduced him to the business, the friend who bolstered his confidence, the future president of the United States, Harry Truman. Because now you know the rest of the story.